You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, the Rams are coming to Los Angeles. Or are they? Is it time for you to dump your career and take a completely different course? A completely different expert will explain why your affirmations don't work, loser. And Manny the movie guy is angry with the Oscars. Let's meet the friends. She's a talk show host's best friend, the producer of this show, and the host of her own show, Sweet Life. It's Brooke Peterson.
Hey, Phil. As much as you may love your cute little furry Fido, you better check yourself. You could be killing your dog. Yes.
He got all the numbers correct. In his dreams, it's Chris Martin.
The Powerball frenzy is finally over. Or is it?
Hey, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show when you do that because the folks over there at iTunes did not win the Powerball, and so they are forced to listen to this program and read your five-star reviews.
I didn't win either.
I won $9.
Well, that's something. Would you at least get reimbursed?
No. I was in a pool that rolled over for a couple of weeks. Didn't recoup any of that money. And so, yeah, I'm behind the eight ball on the Powerball.
At least you tried.
Yeah.
I didn't even buy anything.
But
not even one ticket?
Not even one.
Wow.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know how you don't get caught up in it.
We'll get into the Powerball thing here in a little bit. But let's get the ball rolling, so to speak, because I'm concerned that I might be killing my dog.
You could be.
Wow. What? How?
You know, innocently, of course, not on purpose. But there is a dog flu, a highly contagious dog flu that is spreading at least on the western side of the states. Started in Chicago. Now it's been spotted in Montana and Seattle.
No.
Several hundred dogs, very, very sick. It's not necessarily lethal, but they get very sick. And there have been a few occasional deaths. But the thing is, there are vaccines. There's a vaccine for this flu for dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
What?
What?
How do we get it?
Well, go to your vet. They should be stocking up on vaccines. But if you see your dog not eating, missing meals, a little lethargic, moping around, you know, take him to the vet. It could be the flu, and you could, you know, at least give him some medications to help. And not only that, but people should be aware when they're around other sick dogs, we people can become carriers and then infect other dogs. So we don't get sick, but we can make other dogs sick.
Now, yeah. I've never heard of this before.
Me neither.
Is this brand new?
Well, it said it started last year in some shelters they saw.
Oh.
But I'm not sure where it came from or, you know, why it sort of popped up. But apparently it's pretty contagious. They had to move 300 dogs out of a shelter into homes just to get them away from each other so they could recover and come back together.
Man.
Yeah, man.
That is weird.
So it's a dog flu because the symptoms are similar to the human flu? Is it like runny nose, high fever, obviously not very hungry?
Right, yes. And that's what I'm presuming. Probably it's viral, so you know, being contagious. Then you have like those symptoms of just being mopey and lethargic, which may mean that even though they can't tell us, maybe they're feeling achy, you know?
Right.
So they don't want to move much. Who knows? But yeah, it's a dog flu.
Oh. All right. Well, and how do we know if our dog has it? He just dies?
Well, you have to sort of be aware. And if you see these symptoms, you take him to the vet, and then the vet can, you know, at least check him out. And maybe there are some things they can give the dog to make him feel better until he recovers.
Yeah. You'll know right away, Phil, because if your dog start acting lethargic, you're going to know something is up.
Yeah, I know.
But my
dog
is...
You don't have lethargic animals.
No, I do, though. My dog is lethargic by nature.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, that could be a problem.
Well, then maybe you won't know. I thought your dog was a little runner, with a little fast heartbeat.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's got a fast heartbeat, but I don't think it realizes that. I mean, my dog sleeps 23 out of 24 hours of the day.
Wow. And call it a dog's life.
The hour that it's awake is essentially characterized by sitting next to the humans while they eat. waiting for something to bounce off a plate and into its mouth.
Oh, so if your dog stops doing that,
yes,
lack of appetite.
Yes.
That 1 hour that it's
be
awake.
A clear sign.
All right. Okay.
Your dog is dying.
How about bloody stools?
Ew.
Well, I'm sure there's some of that involved with it, vomiting and all of that, right?
Yeah. It doesn't?
Say so. No.
Oh. right. Okay, but in the meantime, if I have it, I don't have any symptoms.
It is flu season.
Yeah, oh, they're true. But you know what? I haven't had the flu in so long. But yeah, it's
knock on wood.
Neither has my wife. We haven't had the flu shot.
Man, hope your karma's good.
Though? She complains, though, to me that when she gets sick versus when I get sick, she says that I'm a baby.
Well, you probably are. Most men are. Most men, no offense, get like a little whiny and a little crybaby and like, oh, and then they just can't handle it. They're just so sick and tired.
Well, we want to take advantage of the few times a year that we can actually be coddled and taken care of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, now, now there is this research that suggests that maybe it's not just you guys being babies after all.
Really? How is that possible? You mean what? We're actually worse sick than we thought?
Yes. And they're linking it to the woman's natural supply of estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently estrogen is a natural antiviral to a certain extent, which might either ease symptoms or help women recover faster. And men don't have they do have some, but not as much estrogen. And so they might actually be feeling worse than we women can understand.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Look at that. I'm going to wear that on my sleeve all day long.
Sorry, Remy.
Yeah. Naturally, I'm happy I'm not sick right now. But, you know, I try to buck up a little bit and say, am I being a baby? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
Well, I will say that I don't mind when a guy is sick and he's feeling bad as long as he takes care of me, too, when I'm sick. Guys just don't have that little taking care of nurturing thing necessarily as much as women.
You're saying guys are more like, oh, you don't feel well? All right. Better drink something hot. Good luck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See you later.
Remember, feed a fever, starve a cold. Bye.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. Well, fine. Let's see. We're going to hang on there just for a moment.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chris, I want to talk to you about this Powerball thing.
Okay.
All right. None of the winners have come forward yet. It's been split up, but we know that there's at least one in California, right?
Yes. Chino Hills, as a matter of
fact. Not too far from where you live.
That's right. Off the 71, which is going to make sense to almost no one listening.
Yes.
They have come forward. We have one in Tennessee and another one. There's another
in Florida,
one.
Yeah.
Florida.
People have actually come forward, the individuals?
I've seen one picture of a couple holding so I'm thinking at least one of the, I think it's the one in Tennessee. I think they have come forward.
Okay. All right, fine. But nobody's come forward here. Now, I know people from that area. I know a lot of people from that area. I know somebody who actually went to the very 7-Eleven where the ticket was sold.
That's
who
exciting.
Was a very lucky guy. In fact, a couple of years ago, he bought a raffle ticket and won a Harley Davidson.
Ooh, he
wins stuff all the time.
Yeah,
he won the jackpot when his mom passed away. She left him like $1.5 million and a couple of houses.
Dang.
Oh.
But the dude still works. He's a hardworking blue collar kind of guy, and he loves work. He continues to work, and I sent him a note on Powerball Day when I found out. And he didn't have his ticket on him. He had to go home to get to the ticket. But he has not replied to any of my messages since I sent one. And so
a clear sign.
I'd love to have him on the show because that'd be a scoop, wouldn't it?
That would be a scoop.
Everybody in the media wants to know who this person from Chino Hills is. And it's possible it's the person that I know. And so we'll see. Anyway, so what's but you say the Powerball story, outside of the fact that we don't know who's won yet in California, continues to go, Chris. How?
First of all, yes, there's still a frenzy here in Southern California with all of the news outlets to who exactly this person is in Chino Hills that has won approximately $500 million that they will have to pay taxes on. Could be your friend. That would be interesting. There are still people posted up and news outlets posted up outside of the store where it was purchased from. But there's a couple of other things that have happened. A Photoshopped Facebook post of the winning ticket went online and caused quite an uproar from everybody, including one example of it where there was this faux website that said that the person that won the ticket in Chino Hills was already a multimillionaire and that they did it just for the fun of it and now will be taking the monthly installments because their life is not going to change all that much, which really made a lot of people angry. But the thing that is most interesting and is firing up most people about the Powerball is a woman by the name of Cinnamon Nicole, which, what a name, She started a GoFundMe page where it says, and I quote, please help me and my family as we have exhausted all of our funds on lottery tickets expecting to win.
Oh, no. All of their funds?
With a small donation of $1 and one share, I'm certain that we will be able to pick ourselves up from the trenches of this lost.
The trenches of this lost is how
Cinnamon Nicole finished it.
Oh, my gosh. And her husband went along with this.
She's already raised
$1,000. It wasn't just one person. Wow. Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Did she say how much she spent on it?
Quote, we have exhausted all of our funds.
Yeah,
so it's
no
hard
real
to...
number.
And so how much are people contributing to her now so that she could piss all of that money away?
As of this morning, she had close to $1,000.
Oh.
For her and her family. Yeah. There was one comment that was pretty funny where it says, girl, I swear to God, if one person gives you one rusty penny, I will spend 10 times what you spend on lottery tickets on plane tickets. Then goes on to talk about how he's going to fly over to her house where humans like her spend all their money on Flaming Hot Cheetos, Voss water, and Powerball tickets.
Yeah.
And then this person will commence to kicking her entire family's rear end.
Yeah, of course.
So Powerball still alive and well. By the way, the person in Chino Hills has a year, 330-something days to claim the ticket. I'd lay low for a while, too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Well, I'd just get all my ducks in a row and figure out what my strategy is to fend off all the newfound family members
Absolutely. Who
expect that they're going to get a chunk of it.
Yeah, apparently there was a couple that went on the Today Show saying that they were one of the winners in Tennessee.
Oh.
Just saying.
Odd. All right.
I don't know why you'd want to reveal that so quickly.
I know, right?
Okay, up next on the program, if you're single and dating, what the heck is the matter with you? The places you're having sex. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, welcome back. Today is January 15th, 2016. Can you believe it's 2016?
No.
I'm still, it's just incredible.
I'm still pouting.
That we've gone all the way from 1976 to 2016 in a matter of just that. I just snapped my fingers. I don't know if you heard that. Do you remember 1976, Chris?
No, that was 8 years before I was born.
Okay. It was a pretty happening year, though, I must say. A lot of things happened in 76.
Such as?
I'm not going to talk about it. But there's an orgy going on at the gym, apparently. And have you been party to any of these orgies, either of you? At
the
gym?
I would tell you on the air.
Well,
no,
it's a public place. You know, the guy in that extreme tank top over there with the bulging pectorals knows all about what you've been doing at the gym. A new survey found that 25%, one in four single people say that they've had sex at the gym in the past year. Now, how is this possible? Year? Think about your gym. Where is it happening?
First of all, the gym is almost always split up by gender, men and women's locker room, men and women changing area, things like that. So that makes it difficult. Although I did realize in mentally picturing my gym, there is one unisex bathroom where the swimming pool is that has a lock on it, and it's an individual bathroom.
It's there as a perk. Yeah. Maybe all the gyms know that this is a perk that people expect, that there has to be a safe sex place.
This would be the spot. And also, it is next to the janitor's closet, which I just realized if you could finagle your way in there,
yeah,
there's a possibility.
That's the only guess I could have come up with was the janitor's
closet. Now, the other thing is, you know, the three of us immediately went for the heterosexual sex scenario. So there may
that's
be
a good point.
Yeah.
Plenty of the other type going on. But yeah, exactly. Now here
that
are,
is what I picture. Is what's going on in the girls' locker room, by the way. That's where my mind goes. Yeah,
nonstop. Now, here are some more results from this survey that was taken that'll make you want to use extra hand sanitizer after you touch any surface at the gym. 20% of people say they've had sex with their personal trainer.
Oh, God.
Well, the personal trainer has his or her hands all over you.
Right? I see how it happens. But
you
man.
Said 20%?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bet I bet personal trainers would say they've had sex with like 50% of their clients.
Maybe they have, yeah.
Wow.
70% of women have fantasized about their trainer while they were getting it on with someone else.
Well, like
so the
their
trainer's
husband.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, I guess.
Probably pretty fit. Looking pretty good.
10% of people carry condoms in their gym bag.
Dang.
So they expect sex
at
the gym.
They're ready.
And 66% fantasize about sex at the gym to help push their workout.
Well, that's fair.
We'll get the blood flowing, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there is the idea that everybody's pretty much scantily clad, tight-fitting clothing, if nothing else, and they're sweaty and they're moving and they're all connected to their bodies.
This goes back to the old yoga pants conversation, doesn't it?
Correct. And it is amazing to me how good women and people in general look at the gym. I mean, they put a tremendous amount of effort into the clothing that they choose and wear, and it is 95% of the time very revealing.
I wear the t-shirt I wear when I paint the house.
You and me both. Yeah, I got like my baggy shorts past my knees, a loose t-shirt,
yeah,
that type of thing. And the girls
are you having sex at the gym though? Are you attracting the girls?
No.
There you go.
I was going to say I wish, but I don't.
But that
sounds disgusting to me. The gym is a filthy place.
Yeah. People are smelly. They're making Well, you know what?
Sweat everywhere.
I get a lot of grief from Remy, from my wife, for the noises I make when I'm on the rowing machine.
What does it sound like?
I can't do the rowing machine without making noise. Because
grunting.
Because I push my... Because, all right, I was on the rowing team in college. And so I can actually imagine doing a 2,000-meter rowing piece, as we used to call them, doing a piece, and getting to the last, 750 meters or so, and it starts to hurt, but you can't give up. You got to push. You got to get to the point where you see the finish line, and you got to beat that other boat from passing you, one seat at a time, because there's eight of you in the boat.
Yeah, you got to finish strong.
And it hurts. And in order to get all the way through each one of those sweeps with the paddle, you've got to grunt your way through it. So it's a little like who are those grunting tennis queens?
Oh, the Williams
sisters.
And
yeah, they're intense.
But all women tennis players really.
No,
they
broke the mold.
Grunt out there.
Yeah, but see, I'm making that noise too. But my wife says it's scary. It's a scary noise.
Wow.
It's not in the least sexual. It's scary.
Right.
And like people are looking to make sure they don't have to call the paramedics.
You're not the only one. There are dudes at the gym that do that, and it's loud.
Yeah,
and
it's
a little
obnoxious. Yeah, like control yourself.
Yeah, guys. The guys who are doing the clean and jerk and that kind of thing, right?
And they slam the weights down, and the whole place shakes like we just had an earthquake.
Get over yourself.
That's the guy with the extreme tank top, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, let's see. Did I do? Oh, yeah, I did. Now, here's one more thing for you single people. And this is more helpful than just making fun of your sexual activity. Say you're on a date with someone who's great in all the most important ways. They're attractive, they're good-looking, they're really hot.
You just named three synonyms, Phil.
Yeah. you'll probably give them a little leeway if they don't see eye-to-eye with you on everything. Now, except for these. A new survey by OkCupid found the six dating questions that are guaranteed instant deal-breakers. So if you don't agree on all the answers to these six broad questions, you're doomed.
I'm interested. I'm dating. What am I doing wrong?
Questions. Do you discriminate against any race? The most common answer is no. Okay. So
the most common lie is no.
Yeah. So if you disagree with these, you're done. Is interracial marriage a bad idea? The most common answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you disagree with the most common answer, you're doomed.
Okay.
Do you do any drugs harder than weed? The most common answer is none.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I do a little crack here and there.
Right. Never did me any wrong. I'm still fine.
Are roofies drugs?
I'm not taking them.
How often do you shower? The most common answer is at least once a day. Now, if you're earthy, you're going to say what? Like Fridays?
Yeah, a couple of times a week.
Yeah. How often do you brush your teeth? The most common answer is at least twice a day.
I don't know about that one. At least twice a day.
Yeah, I don't know. I shoot for three. Don't you shoot for three?
No, I shoot for two.
I've never done three.
You shoot for two. Do you think using contraceptives is morally wrong? The most common answer is no.
I think I'm good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're probably good on all those areas.
And then here's one more heads up for you dating people. A new survey found the five states with the most virgins are Utah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense.
South Dakota, Idaho, Iowa, and Arkansas. Want to know the state with the fewest virgins?
California or New York.
I'm
thinking Alaska. Nothing else to do.
Vermont.
Yeah. Vermont.
That's random.
No idea. It is random. Now, you've been trudging along at the same dead-end job forever. Or maybe you just got laid off. Is it time to take the plunge and plot a course for a bold new career? An expert holds your treasure map and is ready to guide you to the Holy Grail. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You know, I'm still thinking about all the people having sex at the gym. I'll tell you about, you know who the one guy is who's not getting sex at the gym?
Who?
He's the one that stands outside the glass looking in on the aerobics class.
Oh, creepy.
I've been that guy for a few moments.
He's not
a moment or two is fine.
He's not
where
the drinking sex at the gym.
It's where the drinking fountain is.
Every single day, 86% of U.S. workers grudgingly wake up, get dressed, grab some coffee, and shuffle off to a job that they just can't stand. 86%, that's almost
everybody. That's a lot.
Right?
That's too much.
So why do we do that? Do we do that because we feel like we're stuck and we don't have any other options?
You gotta pay the bills, man.
Yeah. Joining us live is a franchise expert, a former PBS reporter and radio host out of New York, author of at least two books now, probably will have many more by the time I'm gone and with the worms. Magic of Uncertainty is one of them, and his most recent book, Franchise Savvy, both are available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Tom Skarda, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Phil, it's great to be here. Thank you, and I can't say that I'm at the gym right now, which is a good thing. I don't want to be that guy behind the
Yeah, we're still dumbstruck by the previous story. But anyway, do most people feel that they're stuck in their current job?
I think they do, and, you know, it is about paying the bills, but I always feel like if you think your job on Earth, the reason you're here is to pay bills, you're going to have a low level of frustration every single day.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you can get yourself in a place where you're making money at doing something you love, then that's good. But people always say that's the goal. But if it's 86% of us think we're stuck, then 14% are doing what we love and making money at it.
It's really amazing, and that's a real survey. I think that was a CareerBuilder.com did that survey, and it's, you know, what I do is help people make a transition in their career, and I did it myself, and, you know, I never tell people just quit what you're doing and go do what you love, but you need to take baby steps and, you know, learn a little bit about it and understand what it's going to take to do it, save up a couple of bucks, but you need to have a goal so you can, you know, get through the day at work if you're really not liking it.
Yeah. All right. So let's look at the roadmap here. You're at your job. You're sitting there. And today's the day you decided you're going to act like you're working, but you're really plotting your future. And so after being at that job, I don't know, for 20 years, let's just use that round number. And it's weird these days to think that anybody's been at the same place for 20 years because upper management tends to rotate people out so that they have a lower exposure to retirement costs. Now, you wake up that morning, you go into work, and you decide this is the day. I'm going to just spend all my time looking busy. I'm going to use my computer. I'm going to plot my future. and I'm going to try something completely different. Do most people know what that completely different thing is? Are they that self-aware?
Most people are not. I mean, everybody, you know, wants to be a rock star or, you know, be a pro athlete, but it's not really, that's not realistic. But there's something that's driving you, something that you love, and it could be something simple, painting or poetry or fixing cars, building motorcycles, whatever it is. So you need to kind of figure out how to get to that. And how to pay for it is the most important part.
Yeah, right. And so when people have been working to pay the bills, chances are there's more month at the end of the paycheck than the other way around. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, I mean, you're a franchise expert. You need a little bit of cash and some net worth to start a franchise, don't you?
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, I used to work in the New York City subway, and I was there for 13 years and was frustrated. And one day decided I'm going to quit and get into business. And I didn't know anything about business, but I knew a franchise was a business with training wheels. So my wife and I, you know, saved up a couple of bucks and we took a loan and we started a smoothie franchise, and it was really, really successful.
Wow, really? And a smoothie. And was this in New York?
Yeah, this was in New York. And it was, you know, in 2001 when we first opened up, and smoothies were not known in New York. It was really kind of a California thing.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, now smoothies are sold everywhere.
Yeah. Now, is it difficult, that whole getting the loan thing? I mean, that's scary. You got to believe in it. And all of a sudden, you and your wife woke up and said, yeah, I'm pretty sure smoothies is going to work. It seems like a big risk to me.
Well, it is. And there's always risk. I wish something was guaranteed out there, but there's no guarantee except for, you know, the cheese in a mouse trap.
Yeah.
So you got to watch out for that.
Yeah, right.
But you know, I went through a process, which I help people go through now, and it's really a soul-searching process to figure out where your skills are and, you know, where your passions are, and then try to match that up to a business opportunity in franchising.
Yeah.
What does that process include? Is it like make a list of the things that you're passionate about and then sort of mull over those mentally and emotionally?
Well, it's first trying to figure out what your goals are. Ultimately, where do you want to get to? And then work backwards from there. So it is like a T-bar list where, you know, pros and cons. If I quit my job, if I do this, if I do that, and we work through your skill set, and it really becomes a personality profile, because, you know, not everybody's cut out for business ownership. So we have to make sure that.
Now I want to know how you and your wife arrived at smoothies after going through that process.
Well,
was that it's something that you and she both enjoy? I mean, I might have landed on milkshakes, but you landed on smoothies.
Well, we like the idea of smoothies because there's a health flair to that. And, you know, we like healthy stuff. We knew that it was something that was not saturated in New York. That was for sure.
Oh, as opposed to out here in California. I mean, every corner's got a smoothie shop on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now in New York, too. So.
Oh, okay. But now, just I'm curious. Was it the first year you became successful? Did it take longer than that? Have you been able to expand your smoothie dominance in the New York region, or how did it go?
Yeah, it was a really a special events type franchise situation. So what that meant is that we were in non-traditional places, and I had the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan.
Ooh.
And then we went out to the Nassau Coliseum for NHL Islander games, and then out to the Jones Beach Theater, where there's summer concerts, outdoor concerts. And then we ended up with a bunch of locations. And, you know, even like Yankee Stadium asked us to put a spot in there. And there's a lot of great stuff going on just because it was new and fresh and it was a great idea. And it's something that, you know, people wanted other than just, you know, beer and a hot dog.
No, were you independent or was that a franchise that you bought?
That was totally a franchise.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. So yeah. Somebody had already been doing that, and you became the smoothie guy on the spot at all these events. And so now, are you still in smoothies, or have you consolidated and gotten into some other areas?
No, I was blessed enough to build that smoothie franchise. I sold it within 5 years. I semi-retired at 41 years old.
Wow.
And for the past 10 years, I've been helping people do the same thing through my franchise consulting business.
Excellent. And that is the end game, isn't it? To sell your franchise.
That it could be, yeah. There's either that or have somebody run it and you collect dividends. But yeah, if you could sell it and you know, make a big profit out of it. It's all about building the equity.
Yeah. Now, in today's economy, is it more or less conducive to taking the career change plunge?
Right now, I believe it's very conducive because there's no loyalty anymore. They're cutting the benefits that, you know, corporate America once promised. So it's really a good time to do it. The economy is ripe for it right now. Loans are loosening up. You could get, you know, where, you know, 5 years ago you couldn't get a loan to do a franchise, but now you can. And it is really the perfect time if you can put together a couple of bucks and have, you know, a little bit of kind of a threshold for, you know, excitement and risk.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say. Yeah. What do you think, Brooke?
I have a question. So yes. Other than, you know, saving up a couple of bucks for this transition and sort of taking the plunge, how do you suggest for people to actually navigate the change, whether it's going back to school or volunteer work? Or because it's easier said than done, I think, in some cases, to actually make a career change. And it's scary.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's why I wrote the book, The Magic of Choosing Uncertainty. Mm. It talks to that. So many people I work with looking at franchising go all the way down the road and then in the last minute, you know, cop out and choose they choose unhappiness instead of uncertainty. Mm. And they go back to that really bad job. But Brooke, that's a great point. It's one of the hardest things you could possibly do is make, you know, a 180 degree turn, especially when you got, you know, kids and mortgages and car payments and all that kind of stuff. So you do have to do a slower transition, I believe. And, you know, it could take a few years, you know, 1, 2, 3 years before you can make that change. But you start with, like you said, taking a class. You start, you know, take a stand-up comedy class, take a painting class, you know, join a league, you know, do something like that towards whatever your goal is or your passion.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to quit doing talk shows and figure out something else by tomorrow.
What are you talking about? You're living your dream.
Well, I guess I am, but this is so certain. The drudgery of certainty. We're going to have a good show. Every show is better than the last show.
Yeah, yawn.
And yeah, where's the excitement in that?
It's familiarity, really? Breeding content, I see.
All right, so we have the two books. They're well done, and I do recommend them. They're in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Just click on store when you come to the website. Magic of Uncertainty and the new book, Franchise Savvy, both written by Tom Skarda. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for sharing some of it with us today, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. It's an honor to talk with you guys. Thank you so much.
Look at that, an honor. Thank you, Tom. All right, so now that we've got you all hopped up on yourself and your potential, our next guest is going to bring you back down to earth when she explains why affirmations don't work. That's here next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's that time of year when you have resolutions, of course, and they are still mostly intact, I trust. You believe in yourself, you're motivated, and every day you affirm your newfound path to glory. You keep saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Standing at the top of that hill with a boulder ready to roll it right into your little train. As a former CEO, relationship expert, blogger, author of an upcoming book on family leadership, Kindi Gill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Right now, we were so motivated in our last segment when we were talking to an expert on picking up and making the plunge and changing your career to something completely different. And okay. But you say affirmations don't work. Why?
Absolutely. I say they don't work because I've tried them and used them and found something even more superb that is profound. The reason why they don't work is because everything positive that we're looking for already resides inside us. And all we're doing is looking in the wrong direction when we start putting layers of ideas and thoughts about I'm lovable or I can do this or whatever it might be. It's like trying to educate yourself to do something that is already possible and it's stored inside you. You're just looking in the wrong direction.
Now, why can't we find this or where should we be looking otherwise?
Well, the voice inside our head is the thing that acts as the barrier. It's almost like the door that stops you from accessing what's already there. And so the voice inside our head tends to be negative by nature. It's very judgmental. It's evaluating, calculating. It's a mechanism.
Oh, it's not just me.
And so the way to actually resolve this is to say, okay, I'm going to look to understand how this voice got created. And as I look to see how it got created, in the process, it automatically transforms when we understand the folly of those conclusions that have been made.
Oh.
And then once it's transformed, it changes automatically. It just becomes an absolute positive ally and your best friend, and no effort is required. It just happens inside out.
All right, but then you have to turn it into something actionable. Is that the hard part?
No, none of this is hard, because the interesting piece is that everything that happens that becomes like a positive action automatically comes from inspiration from within. So the only thing we need to do is understand, why is the voice having the conversation that it's having? And once we see where that experience arose from, it's generally our childhood, some sort of misconceived idea in our thoughts about I'm not enough or I didn't prove to be enough or whatever it might be. Once we understand where that conclusion came from, we can let it go. And it disappears like magic. And then the voice inside our head becomes really, really positive, but from a natural place where you're not putting any effort in at all.
Well, go ahead, Chris. You have a question.
Well, it sounds like, Kindy, that you're encouraging a path like maybe psychotherapy or that type of avenue in order to figure out what this voice is.
Yeah, I'm not actually I tend to stay away from anything that involves the mind helping the mind itself. So I was blessed with a technique that I came across in 2008, and I've been using it for the last 7 or 8 years.
Oh, do tell.
Family and extended family. It's called the Dalian Method, and it's a very clever technique that avoids you using your mind completely. And it just goes into the cells of your body and automatically brings up the reasons why your head is doing what it's doing, so that you can then learn the lesson behind it and just get rid of it. It's like sort of offloading the rubbish that's residing inside so that you can go and access that big decadent chocolate cake that sits inside too. and that's the piece that we really want.
And now how do you get to that? I mean, transcendental meditation? I mean, it seems
there
like
you
it,
go. Yeah. That has to be the path,
is
right?
Is that what it is?
Meditation?
It is a form of meditation. It's a 74-minute process, one that we can learn to do on our own at home. So again, it's totally empowering because it doesn't mean that you're actually dependent on anybody.
Yeah.
And it's a practical process, much like a meditation would be, but that practical process guides you. So it takes you into parts of the body where the history is stored, where we learned all this odd behavior and where we learned how the mind was saying what it's saying.
Yeah.
And it takes you to all the places in the body where you're able to release it, but release it forever, like permanently. Yeah. And then it takes you to the place in the body where you root and make the changes so that you don't fall back into the old sort of psychotic pattern that you're living with.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is you end up loving yourself. And as a result of loving yourself, you basically love everything else.
So this is a process of awakening your consciousness. And it
absolutely.
But I'll be honest with you, Kindy, it sounds like a lot of work.
I can't figure out what it is.
74 minutes of diving deep. Once a day, every day you do this?
No, that would be way too much. You basically go through the process once, and then the next time you might want to revisit, because it's so profound and the changes are so deep. The next time you might want to revisit would be sometime like sort of a month to 3 months later.
So you're saying
it's not something that you have to do too often.
So this is a one-off? You just do it once and you're cured?
You do it once, a big layer, and a big layer of the mess that's sitting inside our head falls away. And then about sort of a month to 3 months later, you're ready to do the next layer.
Yeah. Sign me up.
It's a process. Yeah, it's a process. You go deeper and deeper each time. But the amazing thing is you get motivated to go deeper and deeper because you see the changes. You see your own behavior altering. You see that you don't fall into the same arguments as you've been falling into for the rest of your life. You actually see that your compassion heightens and you're becoming more loving to others and to yourself. And that automatically motivates you want to do more.
Hmm. All right. So this Dalian method, D-A-L-I-A-N, is that correct? Because I just Googled it. I found a lady with that last name.
Yeah, that's right. That's the spelling. And the lady that you just found is the lady that created it back in 1997, mm-hmm. and then released it into its self-healing version in October 20.
Now, you're writing a book. It's coming out soon. Is it all about this?
It's all about how I used this technique to transform what was going on in the family dynamics and the way that I live my life. Mm. So it talks about how I went through the layers of like the competition and the desire to sort of beat other people and do better and get higher grades and all that type of nonsense that we sort of follow. And then it goes through the layers of how my mind was going into that judgment mode and the jealousies that arise and the feelings of inadequacy. And it methodically walks you through the journey of how you can eradicate all these self-sabotaging things so that you can just tap into that compassion and that love and,
yeah.
and actually your own real gifts that you've come here to share.
I want to ask one more quick thing, Kindi, because we started off with affirmations. Once you've gone through this method, you've removed these layers of resistance, and now you feel passion and compassion and conviction and all these wonderful things, then positive affirmations can be utilized in a good way, right? I mean, once you're coming at it from a good place, can it help you sort of figure out where you want to go and what you want to do from that point?
They're no longer necessary because your mind's already positive.
But it's sort of a way of plotting a course for where you want to get to, or you just stop thinking about what you're going to do in the future altogether. You just abandon all those future thoughts?
No. You don't abandon anything that's useful to you. So the mind is extremely creative and very, very useful in terms of planning and figuring out the next steps. And it does all that mechanical work for you, but without that heaviness that drags you down when you're being self-judged or when you're trying to sort of pursue perfection or when you're feeling guilt or when you're feeling shame. You don't have any of that history sort of bogging you down, but the parts that are creative and positive, they stay with you. That's why it becomes an ally from inside out, and it does that naturally without you having to put the effort into affirmation.
Kindi Gill, I hope you'll come back when your book is ready to go. We'd love to talk to you again because you have at least one potential follower here in the studio, perhaps three. And so thank you for the time you spent with us explaining this whole thing about affirmations and how to look at it differently. And in our next hour, by the way, the music tells us we're almost done here. Are the Rams really coming to Los Angeles? And what about the Raiders and the Chargers? That and more next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour: Netflix has the ability, apparently, to eavesdrop on your personal life, and they'll only charge you $5 for the privilege. Chipotle is about to go through a deep cleaning. What's really going on with football in Los Angeles? And why is Manny the movie guy upset with Oscar? I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Brooke Peterson and Chris Martin are both here. Let's get the show rolling for this hour. Brooke, tell me about this Netflix Super Snooper thing they're working on.
Well, have you ever been one of those people, like for Nielsen, that you get one of those boxes or like the sort of track you're watching, or we get a little log that you fill out so that they know?
Oh, the ratings people.
Yeah, that's how they determine, you know, who's watching what, and then, of course, advertising prices and
all
that.
Well, I've never, because I'm in the business.
Have you ever
known anybody
to? I've known people, yes. You have? Yes. I have never known anybody to actually be one of those people.
Me neither.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of them. That's the thing. I mean, just a small number of people represent the entire universe of viewers.
They use statistics from there, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, so now there's a new technology, thanks to the same sort of technology as Shazam, if you're familiar.
Shazam?
Yeah.
Isn't that where you identify music?
Yeah. Huh. So the phone is listening to the music and then tells you what it is. So now there's this new company that's developed this basically a rating system that uses your phone's microphone to listen to what you're watching. And then, you know, log that in their data to keep track of who's watching what, and therefore you get the same information.
It just dawned on me, as you were explaining the Shazam thing.
Yeah.
And now that you explain what it is, and SoundHound is another one of those, right? That
don't
listen. Yeah. So it just dawned on me that the microphone on my phone is listening for stuff.
Yes.
And yes. So is Netflix listening just to the programming, or can they hear other stuff?
Well, okay, so theoretically, they could be listening, or any app could have some sort of buried, ability in their terms and conditions that allow them to sort of listen and check in. There is that technology available. Now, this particular service, they do not do that. You have to basically follow a process on their website to get access to the app that therefore lets them listen in.
All right.
So there is some sort of
parameters. There's a buffer.
There is a buffer. And it's not supposed to, you know, sneak up on you or snoop on you that way. But the idea also is the fact that there is this technology that is always the phones are always kind of listening.
Well,
because,
you know what?
Like, if you have your phone and you say, you know, you're giving Siri a command. I think on Google, there's a way you can sort of just like.
Okay, Google.
Yeah. And it sort of it has to listen to hear that when you say it.
Oh, my phone just went
off. Mine did too. Thanks a lot. Well, they just tell already that once you've scrolled through the on-demand menu of millions of shows that you'll never and movies that you'll never watch on Netflix, and you've said the words Netflix sucks like 12 times, don't they already know once you fire up the stream of one of their programs on demand, don't they already know because you've hit a server somewhere and you have an IP address, don't they already know that you are watching something? I mean,
it's
old
not just
internet
on
technology.
It's whatever you're watching. So it could be broadcast TV, it could be Amazon, it could be Hulu, it could be something you're watching on. Their challenge right now is that not everybody is watching what they're watching on their TV.
Yeah.
So they could be watching it on their phone, iPad.
So what's implicit with this? The fact that you have Netflix and all you have to do is download an app, or is there something else involved? How do you get involved as a family?
Somehow or another, they're marketing to people, and you can join. You have to join their group of people to do this. And the only incentive they're offering right now that I can find is a $5 gift card.
Oh, really?
Month. Oh, yeah. So
for $5, you can hand over your personal life to Netflix.
Absolutely.
All right.
$5 gift card to what?
Every month.
What?
Every month.
Oh. Every month, $5?
Every month.
Well, and you could pay for anything on that?
That's like $60 a year, by the way.
I know.
Wow. Start to do a little tally.
Is that enough for you, though, to give up your privacy like that?
That's a tank of gas. Are you kidding?
One tank of gas. You're cheap.
Yeah. I'd send my grandma up a river for $60.
You know, gosh, poor
you're
grandma.
A horrible cheap.
You know, just don't let the kids mess with this, because they can start charging up all kinds of cash. You know, you've always heard those stories about the kids with the games, and all of a sudden they got to buy the candies or whatever, the fake candy. And then the next thing you know, your bill shows up in the mail, and boom.
Boom.
It's like a huge amount of money.
Yeah. Well, tell this to a poor guy up there in Northern California. He has an iPhone, and has the latest operating software. I believe it's 9. Something on this new operating software, which is a default, by the way, made his bill accumulate to $2,000 in 1 month.
Holy mackerel.
Because of what? Is it data usage?
Yeah. So there's this thing called Wi-Fi Assist. And so what happens is when you're not on Wi-Fi, the phone will search for some other way of keeping you online, 3G or whatever.
Oh, that.
And so then without without you realizing it, you might be flipping over to data rather than Wi-Fi, and next thing you know, you have a $2,000 bill.
That's how big this guy's bill was?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an option that's already enabled. Like, you have to opt out of it.
Oh, that's...
So it's already there.
That's evil.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So is he being forced to pay the bill?
I'm not sure what the resolution is yet.
Once you make the news, this is one thing we all know. If you make the news on a subject with one of these big companies, they're probably going to waive the fees.
Yeah, because they want the good publicity resolve the news story.
There is a second class action lawsuit over the Wi-Fi assist coverages or overages.
Okay. You know who needs help with the news, in the news, is Chipotle. I mean, now people go over there and say, hi, they'll say, what kind of burrito would you like? I'd like one of them E. coli burritos, please.
Right.
You know, people are just messing with the folks behind Chipotle's counter. They've got some bad publicity. What are they doing to turn that around?
Well, one of the things that they're doing is next month, which would be February, Chipotle is going to shut down all of its stores across the nation at the same time to have a food safety meeting with all of their employees and managers.
Is that like an all-day meeting or like a couple of hours?
They're saying that it's probably going to be a few hours at a time that has yet to be specified.
Uh-huh.
This coming off the heels of multiple foodborne disease outbreaks reported, things like salmonella, norovirus, E. coli, Phil, like you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And since that's happened, starting last August, their stocks have tumbled more than 30% up to the end of the year, and they're performing what they call a comprehensive reassessment of practices and ingredients.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in a novel way. I mean, have you ever heard about an entire national franchise shutting down all of its stores all at once, all at the same time?
I don't know. I've heard of a couple of other things, like cooking your meat to a certain temperature, maybe chlorine bleach, ammonia, some of these other things, you know, that go into making sure that your stuff is ready.
You're old school.
Yeah.
You're old school.
As opposed to just, you know, a wink and a prayer.
Yeah.
Or you go back to our last guest in the previous hour. Why use your brain? You know, just go tap into something else and hope that people don't get E. coli when they eat your burrito.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was actually previously written in their bylaws that they were okay to follow the 5-minute rule.
Yeah.
So they're going to get... Along their comprehensive reassessment of practices, they'll be getting rid of that or possibly reducing it to somewhere around 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh,
God. I'm hoping that that'll
help. That's a cost savings. All right. Now, here in the Los Angeles area where we do our program, right here on the beautiful L.A. Harbor at the palatial L.A. radio studios, you and I both are still in a state of disbelief. There's no way, after years and years of being promised that an NFL team was coming to Los Angeles, it looks like it is actually happening now. But we still don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
It's impossible that we can actually shift gears and say, yes, it's actually going to happen. But it may, I don't know. Well, we're going to confirm this now with somebody who knows better than I, and she joins us. In fact, she goes by the name of the Sports Princess. For a good reason. You'll hear from her next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Every now and then, this program is graced by royalty. And it's about to happen again. Joining us now is the author of the book, Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Share. The book is in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's in the number one position. Go check it out. And please welcome to the program the sports princess, Kate Delaney.
Phil, happy Friday.
Oh, isn't it? We are so happy it's Friday. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Again, how can you be depressed on a Friday?
You can't be, because look at all that's happening. We're in Los Angeles, and finally, at least we're told, we will have an NFL team playing in this city as soon as next season. Is that correct?
It is correct. I think that Stan Kroenke knew that all along he definitely wanted this piece of land where Hollywood Park is.
Yep.
He had aspirations all, you know, going back 5 years to make sure that the Rams were going to end up in Los Angeles. So his dream has come true.
Will it be, when he eventually builds it, will it be called Walmart Field?
Oh, that's ugly to think of that. Blue Light Special.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it? I mean, that's he's married into the Walmart fortune. Well, he's done well for himself on his own, but just the same, his wife is a Walmart. She's a Walton. But here's the thing. We don't believe it still until we actually see it. So is it next season? Will the Rams play? And if so, where will they play while the stadium is being built?
I think that you got to look to the Coliseum, or because it's got to be a facility that's able to house what they would bring. And I'm just assuming that's probably where. I'm sure that they're going to play next season. I know it. I know they'll play next season. But, boy, we're almost at the point where we're getting to the Super Bowl. That doesn't give us much time, or doesn't give him much time. Not us, not you and I, because we have no piece of this team.
Yeah.
Give him much time, unfortunately. Doesn't give him much time to find a place, and building it out is going to take much longer. So maybe the Coliseum.
That's what all the reports say is the Coliseum.
Yeah, well, there aren't any other really good options. I mean, you have Dodger Stadium, you have the Rose Bowl, which you know, the folks in Pasadena
I would hate that. I'm in Pasadena.
Yeah. Wouldn't you hate that?
I would.
Yeah.
But why the rush? It's taken so long to get this far, and now they're just going to throw
Rose
Bowl.
I mean, Kate, correct me if I'm wrong. If the Rams don't play in Los Angeles next season, there's no way they could play in St. Louis because people would be throwing stuff at them constantly while they're on the field. Isn't that correct?
Is that the idea?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? If you have anything to do with the Rams, you are barred from entry into that.
Or any other sports franchise, because doesn't Kroenke own some other teams in other types of games?
Yeah, there's just no way. It's done. They're definitely going to be there in Los Angeles. They're going to be selling tickets. Look for probably right after the Super Bowl, maybe even before, if they have their act together, which I'm betting there's going to be some plug and play. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear about tickets.
Yeah. Now, the folks in downtown Los Angeles for that project and the folks over in the city of Carson, who had these lofty goals of building just a spectacular stadium and bringing perhaps two teams in, is the possibility. Now, we know the Raiders have, at least for the moment, pulled the trigger, and they're going to hold on to some, maybe an option to come back later, but for now they're off the table. But the Chargers still have what? Do they have less than 24 hours to make a decision?
They do, and from what I understand, I have some pretty decent sources. They're going to pull that trigger, and they're going to move. They're going to be the other team that's going to be there with the Rams. So it's going to be the Chargers and the Rams. And if you think about it, there's only two professional franchises that do that already. It's the Giants and the Jets, unless you go to the NBA, which you already have the example in Los Angeles, the Clippers and the Lakers.
Yeah, and now they're in different conferences, so it's okay, right?
Yes, and it worked out well with the Jets and the Giants sharing the expenses, kind of, because they kind of split them. Works out well.
Yeah, now from what I hear, and maybe you know better, if we were to characterize the Rams franchise and the Chargers franchise, one of them is money bags and the other is cheap ass.
Which one do you want to go to dinner with? I'm going to go with Moneybags, even if I can't stand them.
Yeah, and that's the Rams. And the Chargers ownership, they are looking for a free ride. So are they going to get that? I mean, is that what's in the cards if they come out? Is Kroenke basically going to set the table for them? And they're the house guest that never leaves.
Yeah, you got to figure that there's going to be some real wheeling and dealing. And what is going on behind the scenes? I'd love to be a fly on the wall. And here's the question, in the end, because even if they are building a dream, how much are the people in Los Angeles going to have to pay for the dream? Is there going to be any kind of little tax that gets voted on, something down the line? I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah. Now, if it were only the Rams, I mean, Kroenke has said, hey, I'm just going to build it. And and I think he would, because the upside is so huge, he would build it, without any help. Of course, he'll take the help if it comes. But if it were just the Chargers by themselves, the only reason they would come is because taxpayers would foot about 80% of the bill.
That's it. Bingo. I mean, you solve the equation. Jerry Jones had a lot of money, but somehow he convinced the people in Arlington, Texas, that they had to pony up some taxpayer money to help him build Jerry's World, and they did it.
Now, what's it going to take to get three teams in Los Angeles? How in the world would the Raiders say, okay, fine, we're going to come, but they wouldn't necessarily, we wouldn't have three teams in the same stadium, would we?
Yeah, I don't know how you could do that. That would be, to have the trifecta, that'd be a scheduling nightmare, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't see how that would work out.
So they'd have to either build something, again, in another city, Carson, perhaps downtown Los Angeles, because both of those cities were hell-bent on doing it. Or, for that matter, there was another option in the city of industry, where there was there's a lot of empty land up there, where there was going to be another player who was going to build a stadium there. So there are options, and then there are the two existing stadiums that are just in a state of disrepair.
Get it
Riverside
out there. Yeah,
well,
Riverside,
you know,
County at least.
One of the options I was reading about this morning that's becoming more and more plausible is the Raiders actually moving to San Antonio, Texas, and becoming the San Antonio Raiders.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I just was talking to someone before I jumped on with you guys about that very thing, and I was on a radio show this morning, and they asked me what other teams would possibly move, and I said, or who wants a team, and I said San Antonio, and it's true, they would love to have a team. They are ready. I've talked to the mayor there. They want a team there. So that's another possibility.
Yeah. We're talking to Kate Delaney. Again, she's the author of the book, Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Share. And how is it that you came to the princess moniker? How were you coronated? What was the deal? What happened?
Well, I went over to London, and the Queen asked me over for tea, and they said, we've got to give you a title.
Is that what happened?
You speak about sports.
Yeah,
so,
right.
No, really what happened was I was doing a show in Santa Barbara, and there was a caller that would, it was my first job ever, and he would call up and say, you really are the princess of sports. You really know your stuff. And so they started to riff on that, and it became my nickname that, you know nicknames, Phil. I'm sure you've got tons of them.
I've got a few, yes, and many of them I can't say on the air.
Filthy Phil.
Yes, exactly. So one more question. Now, I was a Rams fan growing up as a kid. I was a big-time fan in the 60s and 70s and in the 80s and then a little less in the early 90s. You know, the whole moving to Anaheim and all that just got a little weird. But the Rams, the new Rams, the team that they have now, if we're going to get excited and they're going to sell all the seats out for a season or two, how many seasons is it going to be before the Rams actually are a contender?
Boy, if you ask me to look into my cracked crystal ball, I would say it's going to take at least 5 to 6 years if you're lucky.
Wow.
The players wouldn't just come with them?
Well, yeah, but they don't have a great team right now.
They're not terrible, though, either. They have a good coach. They have a good defense. They need to correct some things in the quarterback position, maybe get some depth at wide receiver. They have an incredible running back. Todd Gurley is going to come over here, and he's going to be a shining star in Los Angeles. And
oh, well.
Few pieces, you never know.
You just named the one player that is really the linchpin, Todd Gurley. But other than that, and saying, well, they just need to shore up the quarterback, that's like half the team.
Yeah, right.
They're all looking for quarterback.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the problem. The competition to get the best quarterback, this draft this year is going to be quarterback central. But then you're banking on you know, guys that are good in college making the leap from the feeder system and being great in the pros.
Yeah. Moms and dads, study football and teach your kid to throw.
Pick up that guy from the Bengals. Is he a free agent yet? The guy that was on Alabama, he played well in the postseason.
Ooh, oh, AJ McCarron.
McCarron, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's not a free agent, but that would be a good pickup if you could pick him up. But I think they want him to stay put. They need him. The Bengals need him.
Boy, I'm going to have to start being a fan of football again because I left the sport when the Rams left, and I had no idea what you guys are talking about just now. So thanks. I'm going to catch up. I'm going to bone up on the sport and become a Rams fan again. Finally, a football team in Los Angeles. Thanks for confirming it for us. Kate Delaney, the sports princess. And she's gone.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're still here. Thank you. You're welcome. And have a wonderful rest of your Friday because you're already enthused about it.
All right. You guys, too. Take care.
There she goes. Invade the Man Cave. The book's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. All right. So that's it for this half hour. Coming up next, you won't believe this. Manny the movie guy loves this time of year. All the award shows, the red carpets and all of that. But he is so angry with the Academy. He's angry with Oscar. He's coughing up hairballs. He's so angry. And he joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who spent all morning hacking up red carpet fuzzballs, KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
I'm your lovable fuzzball, and I have a bunch of red carpet fuzzballs for you, by the way. Collectibles.
Oh, good, good. Can't
only
wait.
Only on eBay.
That'll bring a pretty penny for sure.
That's right.
Now, Manny, before we get to the new movies for this weekend, we want to review yesterday's Oscar nominations. But
Okay. Before
we do that, Manny, what in the world happened to you with your Golden Globe picks? You were 8 for 25.
Well, you know what? There's a reason why I'm called the movie guy and not the TV guy. In the movies, I only miss 3, but in the TVs, I pretty much miss all of them.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay, fine.
That's right.
You got Best Picture wrong, though.
I did. I was hoping for Spotlight, and now it's The Revenant is like going gangbusters all of a sudden.
And by the way, as you know, I very rarely go to the theater to see a movie. I went to see The Revenant, and I enjoyed it immensely. It was a great movie.
Yeah, like what I said, it's well-directed, well-acted, well-shot, but at the end of the day, it's got a razor-thin plot line. It's just a man out for revenge.
Yeah, you're just watching the action and the activities, and it's tense and all of that, and it, entirely unbelievable, but once you suspend your disbelief, it's a lot of fun.
It is fun. It's Leonardo DiCaprio's year, and I think he carried that movie from start to finish.
Okay, fine. So you did miss a couple. So what's the takeaway? How did the Globe winners instruct you in your picks for the Oscars?
Nothing. To be honest with you, not a whole lot. The Hollywood Foreign Press has never been known. The Golden Globes have never been known as a good barometer of the Oscars, not a good predictor of the Academy Awards. It's really more of a popularity vote. It's like winning the best dressed in high school, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go over the picks then, some of the big categories. Let's start with, Best Picture.
Okay. I will tell you, I don't know if I want to have The Revenant win because now it's getting momentum, but my heart still belongs to Spotlight. I still feel that it's the best movie of the year.
All right, so you want Spotlight to win, but you feel like The Revenant might get it.
Correct.
All right. Best actor in a leading role.
In a leading role, it's Leonardo DiCaprio's year, and he's going to get it, although my heart belongs to Matt Damon.
Does Matt know this, by the way?
He should. By the way, you saw The Revenant all the talks about the bear last week got you into it, huh?
Oh, yeah, the scene with the bear.
All about the bear.
I mean, really, as unbelievable as the story is, the scene with the bear is about as believable as an attack can get, except I think his head might have gotten crushed.
Right, I know, right?
Yeah. Now, an actress in a leading role.
I want both my heart and my mind say it's Brie Larson for Room.
Oh, All right. That would be something else.
Although I'm very happy that Charlotte Rampling got nominated, by the way, for 45 years. I enjoyed this very quiet but very powerful movie.
You don't think Jennifer Lawrence has paid everybody off, do you?
No. I think people are kind of sort of tired of her.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see what happens. She got
although
the,
I love her.
She got
I
the Golden Globe.
And I love her in Joy.
Yeah. All right. Actor in a supporting role.
My heart. My mind tells me it's Mark Rylance for The Bridge of Spies, but Sylvester Stallone will get it, you know, for Creed.
All
and
right.
I've been talking about, not patting my back or anything, but...
You got it. You nailed that one.
I've been talking about Sylvester Stallone since August or September when Creed came out.
All right. Actress in a supporting role.
You know what? This time, I think it's Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl.
Ooh.
Yes.
Right.
I have strong faith. The force is strong with this Alicia Vikander.
Right, very good. Animated feature.
Oh, hands down. Inside Out.
Yeah, and you nailed that on the Globes as well. And best director.
Best director. Oh, see? No Spielberg, no Ridley Scott. Alejandro González Iñárritu won last year already, but that doesn't mean he can't win again this year, although I'm still rooting for George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay, so we'll put a Mad Max with it and then put something next to Revenant where because that's where they went with the Globes, right?
Right. And I will put my full prediction coming up, probably in about 2-3 weeks when I, because right now I'm voting for the Critics' Choice Movie Awards and of course the Galeca, which is the Gay Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association. I'm doing a lot of votings. I have to sit on this Oscar thing. But
gotcha.
Right now, you're getting my fresh take on it.
All right. Now, let's head to the theaters. We have three movies of note, 13 Hours. That's the Benghazi story. They promoted as the story you weren't told.
This has been told to us before in the form of a book by Mitchell Zukov. So here's the thing. The 13 Hours of Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, I wish that they had come out and more, with a more political stand. What they did was they pretty much just told the story of the soldiers, and it's a very thin story at that. There's hardly no characterizations. There's a lot of cliches. This is, of course, from director Michael Bay, the stylish director of the Transformers movies. He's big in style and scope, but short on storytelling, and that's what absolutely you're going to be getting.
All right. Good to know. The animated flick, Norm of the North.
Okay, I heard a little rumor that this Norm of the North was about to go straight to DVD, but Lionsgate decided to release it in this dead month of January. And, Norm of the North, I love its premise. It's protecting our environment. It's at its heart. Too bad the filmmakers relied on predictable formulas, but the film loses its ground from the very beginning.
All right.
Norm is voiced by Rob Schneider. I mean, he's a talented sort of comedic actor. But think of all the animated movie cliches, and you'll see them all right here. This one is uninspired, except for the lemmings in the film, which nearly saved the movie. And that's really nearly.
All right. nearly save it. All right. Now, if you have been awake at all over the last couple of weeks, you would think that Ride Along 2 is the only movie coming out this entire winter.
Right? Well, they're banking on Kevin Hart and Ken Jeong. Both of them were at the Golden Globes last Sunday.
Yeah.
And
they're promoting
everywhere,
Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. They were even on The Bachelor this
week.
That's
right. And both of them, of course, Ice Cube, Kevin Hart, returned for the sequel, which is a retread of the original. So my question is, why even bother? Really, this one plays almost like a shot-by-shot remake, although this time the action is moved from Atlanta to Miami as the pair tracks a dangerous drug dealer. Now, there's a little bit more laugh to this one, very little, thanks to Ken Jeong as a hacker, but they're few and far between. Original director Tim Story also returns, but like I said earlier, why even bother?
Yeah, all right.
It's time to just catch up on the Academy Awards, all the films.
Good, good. We'll be knitting sweaters out of your red carpet hairballs for the next couple of months.
Now on eBay for 50 cents.
Visit MannyTheMovieGuy.com and get all of his updates on all of the award shows. He's in heaven. It's his time of the year, so don't forget to visit the website often.
Can I say something real quick, though, Mr.
Yes.
Phil? Please watch the Critics' Choice Movie Awards this Sunday on A&E, because I may be there. I mean, I will be there, but you may see me on the small screen hobnobbing.
Ooh. And no one hobnobs better than you.
That, You got that right. Give me a couple of martinis and I'm there.
Manny the movie guy. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
He's a cheap date, isn't he? Just a couple of martinis and he's right into the hobnobbing. You know,
I can't blame him for that. A couple of martinis.
Don't even need to buy dinner. Just a couple of. All right. Good. Now that we are done talking about movies, there's so much more to talk about, but as everybody's talking about.
I just saw Spotlight last night, though.
Yeah.
And? Fresh. I like it. I mean, but it's infuriating.
I've heard mixed reviews.
Really?
But, yeah.
I saw that, and then I just saw The Big Short recently. Both true stories, of course. Yeah. And they both are completely infuriating. It's just like, oh, my God, where are we living?
Oh, I forgot to ask him, the Harry Potter guy.
Sniverous Snape. Severus Snape.
Alan Rickman, I think, is his real name.
Yeah, 69 years old. Died. Yeah. That was so sad. He had another battle with cancer, which will take you early. And he's the most memorable out of the movies.
Yeah.
I consider him the most memorable character.
I don't blame you. He was a big deal. Yeah.
Everybody loves a good bad guy.
Yeah, he was a great bad guy.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay, we have more show. Not a lot of it left, but we have some big stories to cover, including can you turn the whole Tinder universe into a TV show? We know just the guy to do that. And also, what? They're going to add more stuff on the labels on your food? Are we done not reading labels and we have to add more stuff we're not going to read? Those stories and more coming up in the final segment here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Just want you to know that you are least likely to get punched in the face in the month of February compared to all the rest of the months.
Oh, well, that's nice. You think it's because it has two less days than all the rest of the month?
No, because love is in the air.
That could be. Oh. I mean, we're spending all our time trying to figure out what to do for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We don't.
Mushy thoughts.
I don't have time for you, Mac. Get out of my face, pal. YouTube was originally supposed to be a video dating site. You think they made the right decision?
Yes.
I think so.
You think that's one of those things that probably happens naturally, right?
Like, yeah.
Oh, look where this is going.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we can make some. Oh, man. And YouTube is richer than. They're owned by Google, so they are richer than the planet Earth.
At the time, was the largest company purchase on record.
Yeah. Now, one of the most popular, quote unquote, dating sites is, if that's what the kids are calling it these days, is Tinder. And people are hooking up. They're chilling. What else are they doing, Chris? What are the other things? They're just for casual.
They're dating
liaisons.
I say with
air quotes.
They're dating. What?
Tinder has a nasty reputation for just being a hookup site.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
You didn't know? Did you know that phrase before
in
today?
What are you guys talking about? What
Netflix and chill? Question mark.
Yeah.
That's what you get to after introduction. You're hot, so are you.
That's why, you know, when you say the words booty call, people know you're somebody's grandpa, because that's how old that phrase is. But Netflix and chill is about six or seven generations after booty call.
But is that actually a thing?
Yeah.
A real recognized phrase?
Yeah.
Like Netflix and chill?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I hear that now the word fleek is a recognized word and phrase, and I have no clue what it means.
Well, your beard is on fleek.
On fleek. Yeah, you say on fleek, even.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like my beard. That's a positive thing you just said to me, right? Or do I have to punch you?
No, it's positive.
Better punch you now before February gets around and I can't do it anymore.
It is positive. But I have to believe that because my daughters, they have their ear to the ground when it comes to trends. They were
they recognized on Fleek in the middle of last year.
Wow.
And so I have to believe that because of the cycle that things have now, the cycles are so short that on Fleek has to be already something that grandma's using.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on to something else.
It's already passé, which actually the word passé is also passé.
Let's bring it back.
Okay. Well, we can try.
What were we talking about?
Tinder.
Oh, what's going on with Tinder?
Well, now, do you like reality shows? Dating reality shows?
Well, I like, I don't watch the dating reality shows, but I do watch.
Like Bachelor, Bachelorette.
I do watch Bachelor because my wife and my daughters all love the show. And I just particularly like it when it's Bachelor as opposed to Bachelorette for obvious reasons. There's way more ladies in bikinis on the Bachelor as opposed to the other way around. But yeah, I like the Survivor. And the Amazing Race.
Very popular. Both of which are produced by Mark Burnett. You might recognize the name.
The guy's a master.
He's a reality master. That's true. He is developing a new dating reality show based on Tinder.
Oh. Genius.
And is it rated R?
Pure genius.
Is it rated R? Is it?
Yeah. I have probably. Yeah. You know, all those dating shows get a little.
Is it on broadcast TV or are they going to put it on cable so they can go full raunch?
It doesn't really say. I'm not sure if that's been determined yet. But basically, the idea is using or getting these people together and based on very short amounts of time together, very basic, quick connections, people choosing each other and then seeing how they go together and if it works out and. You know.
And do they run
the
a stopwatch
kind of impression.
Between the time they swipe right? Is it right that you swipe?
I think so. I don't know. I don't have
time. Does the timer begin
from
the moment they swipe right to the moment that they hop into bed or whatever it is they hop into?
While I don't have the application, I do know how it works. You basically just scroll through these pictures. You swipe right on the ones that you like. Now, until that person actually looks at their phone and sees that you've swiped on them, they're not going to respond to you, but...
And now if they...
If they're on at the same time, they're going to know right then and there that you swiped right on them. They see your picture, then they can swipe right back, and now you have a connection you can talk.
Two swipe rights make a wrong.
That's it, yes. It makes some Netflix and chilling time.
All right, fine. Let's move along. We'll keep an eye out for that. That sounds like an interesting show, and Mark Burnett doesn't do anything wrong, so it'll be good for sure. Now... One thing I've always thought, you know what, somebody feels good about this, and that's why they did it, because otherwise it's not doing anybody a whole lot of help, is adding all the calorie information and all that kind of stuff to your menus at a restaurant and to the outside of a box or a bottle, because nobody's really reading that. There's just let me get in there and taste that deliciousness. Right?
Yeah, I want that. What's that in that picture right there?
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Yes. Get that in my mouth as quickly as possible. That's what people think in their head. Let's see. That's good. Oh, that's about 4.6 too many calories. How much sugar? Oh, gosh. Yeah, I guess I'm ordering something else. Will you please
order? I do that.
I want to get my food. Stop reading and order something. Now they want to add more stuff.
Well, over in the United Kingdom, citizens are proposing an idea for food labels to show how much exercise would be required to burn off the calories of the food that they eat.
Love it!
How about this?
You love that?
The Royal Society for Public Health believes activity equivalent labeling would encourage heightened awareness and activity. I have a few items here if you want to take a guess.
Yeah.
How much do you think these are items for running? How long you'd have to run to burn off calories of these items?
I don't run.
A can of soda.
That's
20 minutes.
No, that's 2 miles on the treadmill.
It's 13 minutes. So if you can run a 7.5 minute mile, you're right.
Yeah.
A chocolate bar, 22 minutes you'd have to spend on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter of a pizza, 43 minutes would have to run.
You know, what's the point? It is disheartening because when you get on the treadmill, you want to get your heart pumping and all of that. And if you do the calculations, you put in your weight and all that and your age, and it figures out how many calories you've burned. And so you say, wow, you know, I ran 5 miles. It's the first time I've run 5 miles in a long time. I built my way up to 5 miles. That felt great. It was great. And then you look at the calculations. That's all the calories I burned?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Seems like that moves a lot slower than the time clicking by, huh? The calorie counter.
I'm going to go home and replenish those calories in like the first 5 minutes after I drink a glass of water. I'm going to eat something else, and I'm back at square one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the method of actually counting your calories is the most effective method of being able to maintain your weight. And now there is a device, a gadget called CEO. looks like a garage door opener, yeah. and it emits a molecular light sensor that will identify the chemical makeup of your food and tell you how many calories you're about to eat.
Again, that's lovely.
But technology.
Why is it necessary?
Phil, some people care.
I'm going to tell you why I said real quick. I'm going to tell you. Same thing with these Fitbits and everything else. It's been proven that the more people can see the results of their behavior and consciously think about what they're doing, the higher likelihood that they will make better decisions.
The calorie thing is disheartening.
It,
for me, if I'm going to get on the treadmill, okay, I'm getting the aerobic exercise that my heart needs, and slowly but surely I'm repurposing certain chunky bits in my body, and I'm getting a little tighter over time, and some muscles are growing here, some muscles are growing there, and I'm overall, it's a good effect. And if I focus on the calories, I will just quit, because what's the point? I just burned 1,200 calories. I'm going to go home and have a piece of toast in them, and I'm back at zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I think
it's
that
a focus
is.
Thing. It's an emphasis.
You know
thing.
What you have to do? You have to do something. What does she want us to do to get rid of the voice in our head that keeps telling us negative things? 73 minutes.
Yeah.
You can do the Dalian
look
method.
Into that secret thing in your body.
Well, this particular device did win the Innovation Award at the Consumer Electronics Show, and it sends the info that you scan. So you scan, you say, a piece of bread. It sends the information to your phone and gives you feedback about how much protein, fats, carbs it contains, as well as calories, plots your daily consumption. Interestingly enough, it's going to require a large amount of people using it and a large data bank to be created before it's really all that effective. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem everything works that way now, too. Like, everybody's got to use it, and then it'll be more accurate.
I think what somebody needs to do, and here's another one of my great ideas. Somebody jot this down. Somebody needs to make an app that efficiently and in a creative and different way every time answers the question, what do you want to eat?
Yeah. Okay.
Right? When somebody says, what do you want to eat? And what's your answer? You say, oh, I don't know.
And then it's like spinning the wheel of food.
So
and
you want to
just
do Chinese? No, I don't want to do Chinese. How about no, we had Mexican yesterday. Yeah. So go to the app, press the button, and it says, boom. And it knows exactly what you want to eat.
Yeah.
Because you can never figure it
that
out,
makes
can
sense.
You?
Sense. With all the algorithms out there these days, they seem to know everything.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll know that too.
So screw the calories. Get me the food.
Mine would just tell me pasta every day. Just give
real
me
quick,
Italian food.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday,
absolutely.
Phil.
Thank you very much. It is starting off rather happy. I appreciate that.
39 years young.
Exactly.
You look even younger.
Hey, we love your comments and your birthday wishes. We have a contact page at the website. We're on Twitter at Pfaff Show. We're on Facebook. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, is in the studio. And for everybody else involved with the show, including you, Chris Martin, thank you so much. I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.